Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Primetime, hour number two, a Buck, Suk, and Schultzy edition on this Thursday. We do have Thursday night football coming up tonight between the MASH unit 49ers and the relatively healthy LA Rams
team. Think about that if you had any team. And by the way, this line started out at like 3.5, 4.5, something like that. And now it's been bet up.
8.5, I think now.
It's basically doubled. But this is how much respect, I guess, that the Niners have, and they're just used to doing this. Imagine any team that did not have their starting quarterback, their three best receivers, and probably their best player, well, second best player that isn't a quarterback in George Kittle. I mean, and yet they're playing one of the better teams in the league. And originally, like, this was considered like a real spread.
Yes.
You know, that's insane. I don't care what team you have. I mean, you've seen Cincinnati when you just lose your quarterback. Imagine Cincinnati with no Joe Burrow, no T. Higgins, no Jamar Chase,
Brown. Well, I guess they have their running back. That's the one part. Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to remember
Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, and then whoever their third receiver is. I mean, seriously, like what the Niners are going through right now, it's kind of unreal. And yet, for the Niners, it feels like it's just par for the course. Like, oh, this is what happens with the 49ers.
It's just part of like their reality. What's what happens to them either every year or every other year or something. I do want to talk a little more NFL football coming up a little bit later. A battle of former teammates between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold this weekend as the both of those guys played in Carolina together. And Schultz's pulled some good audio of reminiscing about the good old days, as one reporter called it.
That Baker did a weird tour of duty in Carolina and with the Rams.
Yeah, yeah. Where he was barely on the fringes of being in the league, and now he's starting again, doing his thing.
And Darnold, too, right?
For sure,
Darnold had to make his rounds.
And, he was backing up the Niners in the Super Bowl, right? Against the Chiefs.
And now, you know, it feels like he has his feet planted.
Right, but it took some good fortune, because he wasn't supposed to be the starter in Minnesota last year. McCarthy was.
Yeah.
And then McCarthy gets hurt in the preseason. It's Darnold's gig. He goes out and wins like 13, 14 games, something like that.
They won 14 games.
Yeah. So,
and then they let him go.
We'll get into some of the NFL stuff a little bit later. I did see something in the college realm today. By the way, if you're tuning in for Dan Lanning, he will not be with us this week. No. He's on the road recruiting.
Recruiting.
Things seem like they're going pretty well on the recruiting front for the Ducks. I did see some Ducks basketball recruiting news. One, they have signed the first ever professional Chinese basketball player. The Oregon basketball team has. So I'll see if I can find him. I think his name is Wei Lin, but he averaged like 18 points a game in the Chinese Professional League, and he's going to come and be a Duck. Huh. So,
well, I did see now, like, the NCAA, like, there is no more structure. There is a G League player that's coming back to play college.
Yeah, I saw that. It's so odd.
He played in the G League, but I guess he sued and he won his eligibility. I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years, but he was in the G League and then is coming back. And I don't remember. This was maybe a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what team that he's, or if he even committed, or if he just sued to come back, but he is going to be eligible. Like, the NCAA cannot win in court.
Like, no, I mean, you got the Diego Pavias of the world saying, like, well, if I just want to keep playing college football, then I will. And they're like, I don't know.
It turns out, like, I don't know why anyone didn't figure this out before, but, like, the NCAA has all these weird rules that are illegal.
Yeah. Like, it's well, they can't enforce them. We saw the transfer portal stuff. It's like, you can't transfer. And then that dude just left Wisconsin, went to Miami. Yeah. He's like, watch me.
Yeah. Remember, like, The pay for play thing, they put the NIL rules in, and then they're like, we're punishing Tennessee. And the state of Tennessee, not the university,
the state
sued. And then the state of Virginia was like, yeah, we're going to get some of that too. And the NCAA was like, damn it. Like, anytime the NCAA does something that you don't like, just sue them. You'll lose. Like, they will lose.
And then the other small Ducks basketball nuggie is they are awaiting a big announcement tomorrow. Trevor Ariza's kid, Taj, is one of the top prospects, and he's making his announcement between Oregon and USC tomorrow at 11:45.
I know Oregon basketball has been good, and they do a nice job of recruiting, but I wonder if the basketball recruiting will ever, like, if that will hit the kind of the fever pitch that the football program has.
It's so weird. Like, I just, the basketball roster construction is even stranger to me than like the football transfer portal stuff. Yeah. Cause like, I think we talked about this during March Madness when you looked at where all the players of every starting five was, like when they started their career and where they were now. And almost no team has like built with the same guys. And Altman was a, even before the transfer portal, he was a big transfer guy before that. And so it seems like guys who are good jump to go somewhere, they can get more money, or they jump to the NBA, and there's almost never continuity. So it's like, what can you get with this squad this year? And it feels like it's hard to build momentum that way, at least in roster building.
Well, when you look at it, I just wanted to pull it up. I looked at the all-time Oregon Duck basketball recruits, because when you look at the all-time football recruits, like I remember Haloti Ngata was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Stewart was a big deal.
Cam Colvin was a big deal.
Yeah, and that one was a little
well,
more...
Well, he didn't play well, but he was the number one receiver at the time.
He was the number one receiver. And then Thibodeau was one, and that worked out.
D'Anthony was one.
But when you look at like their basketball recruits, like Bol Bol is... So this is according to 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So Bol Bol is the best, the highest rated Oregon recruit, and Khalil Ware.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Khalil Ware transferred. He went to he transferred to Indiana.
And then like Kwame Evans, Malik Harrison or Harrison, Troy Brown, Lewis King, Jabari Brown, C.J. Walker, Mookie Cook.
Yeah, a lot of the Oregon's most productive players were not highly touted.
No, and so that's kind of the weird thing is that I feel like when they land like some of these guys, I feel like it doesn't really.
Like there's not a great hit rate on them or something.
No. Yeah. And so that's why I wonder, like, if Oregon basketball, the Oregon basketball program has been good, but it certainly does not have the reputation and the national success and the national brand that the football team does. But same resources. I mean, same facilities. I mean, and I don't know where the NIL gets split and revenue sharing and all that, but I wonder if the basketball program, because there's only really two programs in college that matter, and that's the men's basketball program and the football team, and the football team has it rolling. I wonder if the basketball program will ever kind of hit that same sort of stride.
Yeah, and they got themselves to a Final Four. They had a pretty good squad there. They frankly could have beat North Carolina, who went on to, I think, win the championship game over Gonzaga that year. Wanted to shift gears to a football item that I saw, or a couple football items that I saw. We got the ratings in from the Oregon-Penn State game.
Yeah.
8.5 million, I think I saw. Yeah. And now there's
Bama-Georgia had 10, I believe, like average. I think they peaked at like 12, but it averaged like 10.5, which, by the way, is better than NBA Finals, World Series numbers. I mean, it's the second most popular sport in America is college football.
Yeah. It's remarkable how much juice that sport has now. And even compared to like, I don't know, like pre-playoff era, I would say maybe. I don't know if there's just been like, there's been more of a fervor for the good teams, if it's how we cover them, but it feels like college football is more at a fever pitch in fandom now than maybe it has been in many years before.
And yet I hear constantly from people telling me that the sport is broken, that it's dying, and it's I'm sorry.
The foundation's changing.
It is, but it's just, I got to be careful. I don't want to like call anyone out. This is an upper left thing. This is you're living in a level, you're, because of where the college football scene changed the most. There was an earthquake that obviously devastated the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of schools fell off the map into the ocean. And the ones that even didn't fall off kind of were left struggling to find shelter and kind of put it together. A couple schools got a life raft out, and everyone's kind of bitter at those guys. But the truth of the matter is the rest of the country doesn't really care about your natural disaster. And it does feel like a lot of people on the West Coast are left screaming about like, oh my God, like the world has ended. And the rest of the country is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we're still doing things the same way for the most part.
Nothing has changed. In fact, it's
love it more.
It's bigger. It's bigger than ever.
Yeah.
So for any of those people that complain about transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff, I'm sorry, but the numbers are better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a golden age of college football right now. You out here may not like it.
Yeah.
And some of the old heads may yell and scream, but the numbers don't lie. The big eye in the sky don't lie.
Right. Well, the reality is there has been some separation from the haves and the have-nots. Yep. There have been some teams or programs and fan bases that have frankly kind of been left behind, but the upper echelon is as good or better than it's ever been. And that makes the product on TV as good or better than it's ever been.
Oh yeah, dude, that Michigan. I remember when Michigan played Alabama. I think that was in the Rose Bowl, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. That thing got like 28 million people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just this, it was, in fact, it may have been one of the two or three biggest college football games ever watched. I mean, it was an enormous number. It was in the 20s. It was finally one of those where you're like, oh, well, that's an NFL type number. And no other sport can touch it. The NBA Finals can't touch it. Major League Baseball can't touch it. Certainly hockey can't touch it. I mean, the Olympics don't touch it at times.
No.
I mean, it's just, it is, college football is a gall darn juggernaut, which I laugh a little bit when I hear colleges complaining and moaning about money. And I'm like, please stop.
Well, I saw something about that today. I can't remember whose article it was, but I remember I saw Stuart Mandel pulled a quote from it, basically saying that the University of California, Berkeley, yeah, is still seeing positive effects from their college game day experience last year. that big production, they saw their enrollment and what majors offered on their webpage spike that day and have remained at levels higher than they've ever been since before that game day experience. And so to Mandel's point, he said, you know, for people wondering why would a team on the West Coast go to all the trouble to join in the ACC conference, blah, blah, blah. It's for things like that. It's visibility. It keeps you in the game. Still benefits your university.
Go back and look up the Nick Saban effect. It's the most insane thing. When you look at when Nick Saban got to Alabama and when he left Alabama,
yep,
like he literally changed the demographics of the students. Mm-hmm. Because out-of-state tuition, in-state tuition, Nick Saban was worth billions, mm-hmm, not millions, billions of dollars, mm-hmm, to the University of Alabama. And I get it. That's a, you know, Saban is a...
But even on a much smaller scale, I do remember there being reports or numbers that came out after Oregon appeared in their first national championship game, yeah, against Auburn. I mean, Chip Kelly was not Nick Saban, but where that football program got, they, yeah, saw a massive, yeah, influx of applications and enrollment just because of their visibility from their football program.
And to the people that like we can't compete, then don't.
Sure.
I guess that's my thing, is like we're living in a world now where
no one's making you play the games.
We're living in a world now where finally, you actually have to pay for the people that are putting the product on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it asinine that people have the balls after all these years to stand up and be like, everything's changing because we now have to pay people. In what other world can you build a multi-billion dollar business on the premise of we don't have to pay the people that actually go out and do the work? We pay everyone else around them, yeah, and we pay everyone else around them a F ton of money.
And we're happy to profit based on what they produce.
Yes.
But we're not going to actually pay them.
Sounds like a Chinese factory.
Yeah. Something, yes, like that. Yeah.
But now that you actually have to pay people, now we're upset. And we don't like it because it's changing, because the place where I went to school can't live in this new world. Then don't. This idea that somehow it's ruined college football. No, it may have ruined your university's football team, or it may have changed the idea of what your university football team exists. But the people that are trying to like enact this SCORE Act through Congress, mm-hmm, to where there are literally people trying to make the NCAA basically exempt from any lawsuit.
Right.
Because
they don't have a leg to stand on.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So you're literally running a business that's illegal and violates a million different laws, and you want to be like, well, we liked it the old way, therefore we're going to take $1 billion industry. Imagine if we did that with the auto industry. Imagine, yeah, if we did it with anything.
Because it's like recreation and sport, people think it doesn't count. Well, those are still real people putting in real work that others care about.
So it's just this absurd argument. And yes, there's going to be some growing pains and things are going to shift and change. But and this is where I'll give Rob credit. He said all along, he said, this will end up being, you know, because everyone was predicting doom and gloom. Well, a lot of people were. And he just said, dude, it may piss off some, but he goes, this is going to lead to more national eyeballs and more money than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah.
And now we've got private equity firms or whatever getting ready to dump billions of dollars into entire conferences. So yes, there will be some people left out in the cold, but the ones that are left standing, and it will be a lot of them, they are going to make so much money. And ADs and universities and coaches and everyone, I don't hear any of them complaining. I haven't heard one person willing to give back their money. The Dabo Sweeneys of the world have said, hey, the day we pay players is the day I go find something else to do.
Who's still coaching at Clemson?
And who, by the way, gets real pissy when he says, hey, if you fire me, I'm going to go coach somewhere else. Is it possible that you like coaching, or is it possible that you like coaching and getting $10 million a year?
Yes, very much so. Well, let's keep it in college football. I've got a Dan Lanning stats and also some updates to the NIL world. We'll follow up on some of the stuff that happened with the Beavs earlier in the week on those reports, and also a new rule that would hopefully streamline things a little bit. You're listening to Primetime, 105.1 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little more time before in the news here. In the news tonight, troops are in our fair city. How Portlanders are handling it. Little spoiler, we're getting naked and punching people. So that's coming up.
And we had the hot naked girl that was out doing like yoga in front of the, that was like during the riots.
I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, where is she at? Get her back out there.
Yeah, we need her to promote peace.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I said I had a Dan Lanning stat for you. I found this interesting because, you know, everyone, Oregon fans, reminisce about the, you know, the glory days of Chip Kelly and the way he elevated the program after after Mike Bilotti.
Yeah.
But he was something of a shooting star, was only coached, I think, 53 games or 54 games for the Ducks before he went off to the NFL, had a show cause thing, all of that. But something significant happened over the weekend. Because Chip Kelly ended with a record of 46-7 and a winning percentage of .868.
Mm-hmm.
Winning his 40th game in 46 tries over the last weekend, Dan Lanning career win percentage at Oregon now .870. So Lanning, now the winningest coach at Oregon in percentage, passed even Chip Kelly.
Huh. That's interesting.
Ducks have won 18 conference games in a row,
yeah.
Have the longest home winning streak in the country, and, I mean, outside of getting blasted in the playoffs last year, he's got it rolling as good as Chip ever did.
Well,
in terms of win percentage,
yeah.
Games won.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not changing the landscape of the game with this, you know, slash and burn, hurry up offense or whatever. But I'd be interested in. I mean, it's comparing apples and oranges. It's two totally different eras. But when you look at the fact both guys have spent roughly the same time with the program, I mean, yeah. Lanning's like 8 games shy of where Chip was his total Oregon career. Chip obviously brought him a national championship. Dan hasn't done that. But I'd just be interested in your perspective on one versus the other, but just that significant plateau being met.
I would say this to me. I will always regard what Chip did as unique because Chip did it through scheme and system.
Mm-hmm.
Chip did not have the players that Lanning had.
Correct.
Because this was pre-NIL.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lanning is living in a world where without NIL, Lanning isn't doing this.
Probably right.
He just isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and look, D'Anthony Thomas didn't come here
for free.
Right. And Kayvon Thibodeau didn't come here for free and LaMichael James didn't come here. So that's, but also none of the Alabama players were going there for free either.
No,
but now that it's above board and this is out there, Oregon can flex in ways that they couldn't before.
Right.
And now Oregon has gone from another school to really one of the three or four top schools. I mean, when you look at Ohio State, Texas, maybe the only other two schools with an as robust war chest and ability to not get outspent.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean Oregon can spend whatever they want, but they are not going to be overspent. They're not going to be outspent.
Right.
And there's only other couple of schools. I mean, even Georgia and Bama don't have the resources and the backing that Oregon does. So what Lanning is doing is different in the sense that he has been given more tools than Chip.
He's been given like a bigger toolbox to work
yes.
with.
So I think what Chip did to me is more impressive,
yeah.
But I think what Dan is building is more sustainable. I think Chip was always going to be a little bit of a shooting star because he didn't have a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
His fastball was incredible. He had one pitch.
And it was like something no one had ever seen before.
Yes. And you've seen it now. Tempo has been erased from the game. It is no longer the advantage that it was.
It doesn't put teams on their heels and get them rattled the way it used to.
And so could Chip have lasted a little longer with better talent and the ability to go out and get guys? Absolutely. Would his thing been as sustainable? No, I don't believe it. So for the moment that they had it, what Chip did to me was more impressive. But what Lanning is building here is going to be bigger. It is going to be broader, and it's going to have more of a lasting effect than what Chip had. And so in that question, there's two answers. One is right. One is better than the other. It's just depend on, do you want the snapshot or do you want the bigger picture?
Yeah.
I've said it. I believe unless something radical happens, there's some sort of scandal, there's some sort of, you know, family thing or whatever, I do believe that eventually Dan Lanning will win a national championship here. I don't think under that regime that you had, I don't necessarily think that was a given with Chip.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, and they came close.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly could have done it.
Yep.
But I think that was in this era too, where you have to remember Chip played in a world where you didn't have to go through a bunch of people to win a national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just have the best record, play one game.
And so I think that roster that Oregon had would not have been able to go through.
They couldn't make through that gauntlet.
No.
Yeah.
And that's right. Chip, when he played teams that were on par with him, he was about a 500 coach.
Struggled. Yeah. I mean, and maybe not struggled, but it didn't have the same dominance that you had in conference.
It was 500.
Yeah.
If you go back and look, I remember we did this after he left. He was about a 500 coach against teams that were physically, you know, talent wise on par with him or above.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're having to win 2, 3, 4 games to win a national championship, that's why I said this version of it is more likely to produce one. And I think if they stay, I don't see why most teams that have put this together and then have this sort of momentum and the resources, I think it will eventually, there will be a tipping point where I think they're going to get one. Are they going to be Bama or Clemson or Ohio State? I mean, God, who knows? That's like every time someone wins a Super Bowl, oh, is this the
next dynasty?
The next dynasty.
Dynasties are hard, and they're harder to come by now in sports than ever before.
But will you get one? Most teams that have had this sort of trajectory, yes. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they usually get one. Whether that's Kirby or whether it's Dabo or whether it's Nick or whether it's Les at LSU. Most of the time, Ryan Day at Ohio State was knocking on the door for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so I think eventually, and I tell this to my Husky friends who just get so disheartened. I'm like, dude, they're like, I don't want to live in a world where Oregon has a national championship.
I bet you don't.
And I'm like, I think you're going to have to learn. I think you're going to have to learn to deal with that eventually. There is a momentum here.
Get ready to start talking duck, buddy.
Yes. Now, I will say that I think Chip did a lot to help build this version of Oregon and make it. He introduced this kind of new sexy brand to a lot of kids growing up.
Yeah.
And then it's gone from there, but his style of offense and the amount of points he was scoring and the way he was doing it, I think and you hear it on the recruiting trail, kids say that growing up, this was where they wanted to come play.
Right.
And not just the uniforms and Nike University, but I think the style in which they played and Helfrich even continued that, that style of offense,
yep.
I really do think led to a lot of offensive players wanting to come here and play in those schemes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. And if I'm hearing that correctly, Suk says Oregon national championship landing, book it probably this year. There we go.
If you gave me 5 years, because I think next year's team will be better than this version. I don't think there's a dominant team this year. I don't think Oregon is super elite. It's certainly not an all-time team, far from it. I think if you played this Oregon team against like the Georgia teams from a couple years ago or some of those Bama teams, I think they'd drop an old-fashioned ass whooping on you. I don't think there's a super elite team out there. So I think you have the ability.
Got a chance.
But I think the versions of this Oregon team 5 years from now will be infinitely better than this version we're seeing right now. And unless there's another team that rises up and is like, oh my God, you have that year where everything's stacked. I think eventually one of these years. Yeah. So if you gave me 5 years and you said they get one, I don't think it's a guarantee, but if you made me if I had to
give
bet,
you an even money bet on it,
even money bet, I would bet yes. Yeah. In 5 years, I think they get one.
Warms my little duck fan heart. Thanks for that support and confidence boost. We're going to get there, Schultzy. We're going to get there.
Hell yeah.
It is time for In the News. We will do that next. How Portlanders are handling the troops. Some better than others. Schultzy's got sports on.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Primetime, a Buck, Souk, and Schultzy edition. It is Thursday, October 2nd. We're up against it. It is time for In the News. I am your stand-in, short-timing newsman going to a real news station just next week.
You are about to be an actual real newsman.
Kind of. I don't know that I'll be reporting it, but I'll be behind the scenes.
You'll be behind the scenes disseminating important sports TV news
to
fine people.
That's right.
A coin in the CW.
Yeah. It is Name Your Car Day. Have you ever named a car?
No. I'm not a car namer. Kind of a car leaser too. So
they're not even really yours.
No, I mean we have a Bronco, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever named a car. I've had buddies that have done it.
Yeah, my mom's first car was a VW Beetle. She named Max. But
Do you have a car name?
No, I don't have a car name.
Chelsea, you gonna name your Miata when you get it?
I don't think so. My wife has car names.
Mia the Miata?
Yeah, right. I'll just call it Papa because that's why I drive it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, Papa.
Yeah, it's just like, it's never occurred to me to...
Makes me think of Gone in 60 Seconds. How they had all the names for all the cars.
Yeah. There's a certain type of person that it takes to name the car, and I'm not that person.
Well, are you a fried scallop type of person? Because it's fried scallop day.
I will say this. I love scallops, but they kind of they make me a little nauseous.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, so I got to be careful because I do very much enjoy them. But the BTJ kind of has to yell at me because I'll be like, oh, I'll just have one. She's like, no, you won't, you fat ass. And if I eat, like, it's just, eggs are kind of that way. It's one of those that kind of, they tend to upset my stomach.
Okay.
God, they're tasty.
A little tummy trouble.
Oh, a little pan-fried scallop?
Yeah.
You tell me that's just, oh.
And then, you know what? For so kind good. Of like a, for kind of an elegant food, they're pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to do. You don't have to be a great cook to make a nice scallop. Greetings. So it's also produce misting day. I'm not sure why we need day for it, but if you've ever been in the grocery store... Mm. And they're keeping your produce fresh with the little misters. Today we celebrate.
Being a bald guy, I don't mind every now and then. I kind of stick
just
my...
Just lean in.
Yeah, when they're doing the little mist, I like that. It reminds me of like when you're at like Disney or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like in line.
Yeah.
Dude, that mist. If I was rich, I would just pay someone to follow me around and mist me.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
I thought it was cool when I was like a kid and I put together that one of the grocery chains, they play like a thunder and lightning sound effect right before. And I'm like, I never put it together. I'm like, oh, then the rain comes. Dude, okay.
I love a good old misting.
I was a simple kid. Every time we walked in the grocery store and I saw the mist happen, I thought it was like special for me. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, I did something. No.
Schultz's here.
Yeah,
we'll celebrate
right?
him.
I'm here, guys.
You find the little things in life. That's the enjoy every sandwich.
It's also Custodial Workers Recognition Today. Oh. Recognition Day.
Hey, I've worked in the custodial arts.
What did you do again? Were you a janitor?
I was a janitor.
Yeah?
Hell yeah.
When I was in college, I was a janitor for one glorious summer at, is it Novell, the software company?
Okay. Nice. Probably not bad.
I can assure you that there has never been a worse janitor. Than yours truly.
They're like, we need you to clean that up. You're like, I don't want to.
Well, we were there. Like, it was me and all my idiot, like, football buddies.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was, if you are in a college town and, like, five offensive linemen show up and are like, we want jobs, do not hire them. Because if you put five of us in a building at night when everyone else is gone, I can assure you whatever you're paying us to do is not going to get done. And the things that are getting done, you are not going to want done.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's most of those stories I can't share, but it's just nothing good occurred in that building.
I should probably shout out the, I don't even know his name, but the custodian in our building here, because twice this gentleman, I've had my phone dying, and I've gone out to my car to get my charger from my car and left my keys on the desk inside, and nobody was still in the building. And twice that gentleman helped me get back in because he recognized me.
And I would hope it's gotten better, but this is how bad staffing that job was back in the day. There was twice in that summer where we just decided to quit. Like mid-shift, we just left. And then a couple days later, we came back
And they said, okay.
And they were just happy that we showed back up.
that sounds about right.
That's how you know they're desperate for your work.
Yeah, we just didn't show up for like 2 or 3 days. And we're like, hey, if we came back, do you think we'd still? And by the way, it was $8 an hour. Yeah, that's right. $8 an hour. Right. Working 5-hour shifts. Sweet money in my pocket. And we came back and we were like, are we going to get yelled at? No, they were ecstatic that we that we showed back up.
I cleaned banks in college.
Ooh,
like
banks.
We're talking, had to go like at 11:30 at night until 2 a.m. Clean the toilets, do everything, paid under the table. It sucked. But
did
I would
make
say
more than $8 an hour.
not much. And I guess the best part is it built character. I don't know.
$40 a day, baby.
And then in the most obscure of national days, I don't know that I've come across one in our In the News segments quite as specific as this. It is National Report Long-Term Acute Care Hospital Fraud Day.
Oh.
So if you've been defrauded while you've been receiving long-term acute care from a hospital, celebrate, I guess.
Or it might be
do
one
something
of those,
about it. I don't know.
I'm guessing, like, if you end up in one of those assisted living facilities and you're kind of like, I'm guessing a lot of those people end up with drained bank accounts.
Yeah, I can see that. But then I hear acute care and I think it's like more than just senior living. So
yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? What I do know is that everyone's in a tizzy about the troops in our city. So apparently,
has anyone seen them yet?
I haven't. Not personally.
I keep hearing like different reports that they're here and then they're not here and then the helicopters are here. I know that.
Yeah, I've heard the helicopters. I've not actually seen a helicopter, although I do know that they're here.
Yeah, we got some friends that live down on the South Waterfront,
yeah.
And I guess at night it's driving the people crazy. But like, there's like low flying Black Hawk helicopters, and it's like rattling windows. Meanwhile, there's like 20 people out in front of. Every time they show out in front of the ICE building, there's just a handful of people there. Like, one of them's got a guitar and then, like, some cardboard signs. Like,
well,
what are we doing?
If there is a conflict and an emergency here in this fair city, there's one group that's ready to fight back, and it is the World Naked Bike Ride Group, who are convening to organize an emergency World Naked Bike Ride in response to the militarization of our country. Don't have a date and time yet, but the plans are being worked on.
Really?
That's how we're going to push back.
That's the most Portland thing ever.
Yes, how can we help?
We'll
show you our unit.
Yeah, that's right.
Send that one hot naked gal that was doing yoga out in front during the riots.
Well,
get her out there.
There is one other thing you can do about it, although it wouldn't be recommended. A Portland woman appeared in court on Wednesday due to accusations she had punched a federal officer outside of the ICE building.
Yeah, don't do that.
Catherine Megan Vogel, 39, faces felony charges for the incident. She was first detained by federal officers after she reportedly used red paint on the driveway of the South Portland ICE facility, right by where we used to work. Yep. Officers then escorted her to the facility for an interview, and while they processed her, she punched one of them in the jaw with a closed fist.
How about this? Just ignore them, and in, 30 days or whatever, they go away? And give them nothing to do, and like the ones in DC, they'll just like clean up some trash and like spread some mulch, and then no one was protesting down there anyways.
Well, she was. She was using red paint on their driveway.
Dude, I'm telling you, there have been 5 people that have been arrested out in front of that building since July 4th. Just ignore it. Ignore it, and it will go. And it will go away.
Our city isn't on fire, so
no,
they'll realize
not.
There's nothing to do, and then they'll leave, right? Right.
I don't know. Maybe we can send them down to like clean up some old trailers or something.
Are they going to want to stick around once they see the goods at the Naked Bike Ride?
Oh, there you go. I just love that. That's our response. Show them your tees. That ought to do it. Jeez, Louise.
Coming up next, some happier news. We talked about it earlier in the week. A new Portland tasty treat. The reviews are already in, and it's banging. That's coming up next in News on the Fam. Welcome back to Prime Time. Internet is a great place.
Saw the most uncomfortable video.
Yeah.
Buck during the break showed me a video of Jim Harbaugh talking about being accused of sex addiction to Jameis Winston.
What?
I guess in the draft, it's the draft process. Jim Harbaugh was like walking Jameis Winston through how to answer like draft
questions. Tough interviews, and they're like, he's like, you know, you're going to be asked about stealing the crab legs. You're going to be asked about, you know, jumping up on the table and shouting grab her right by the, you know, whatever, or F him right in the, you know, that. And then, and he's like, so Jim's like, so let's talk about it. What's your deal, man?
You're like
you a sex guy? You got a sex addiction? What do you got? Some kind of like a, you like sex? You got some sort of sex addiction? Guy.
And just hearing Jim Harbaugh talk about sex addiction, you're like, wow, I did not have that on my bingo card. I was not prepared for that.
This is In the News, Thursday, October 2nd. Talked about it earlier in the week. I'm not sure we ever decided on a pronunciation for it, but the Salt and Straw Taco Bell collab on the Choco Taco called the Tocolate? Yeah. Or are we going Taco Latte?
Taco Latte, I think it was.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, it's Taco Latte.
I don't see an accent on there, so I don't know, but Tocolate, Taco Latte.
It's fun to say Taco Latte.
It's way more fun to say. Well, the Oregonian has reviewed it, and the reviews are even better than they thought they were going to be. Yeah. They said it is phenomenal. One of the best treats they've had. It says the Tocolate, let's see, ads popping up, or the Tocolate, says it captures that general vibe of the Choco Taco, but is many, many times better than the original.
I would hope so. The Choco Taco was from Klondike, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
I would certainly hope that the one from Salt and Straw was better than the one that I bought at Kroger's.
Says, let's start with the Tocolate Tortilla, the hard shell waffle cone that is shockingly both crispy and crumbly. It's a dessert that fits in your hand and doesn't even necessarily require a napkin, as the semicircle cone does exactly what it's supposed to. It says the chocolate is real, not some chocolate-flavored product. And although the Choco Taco included peanuts, they used puffed quinoa for an allergen-light crunch to eat each bite.
Puffed quinoa?
Puffed quinoa.
That is so Portland.
Texture and avoid the nut allergies. So
yeah, I'm good.
It said, but the star of the dessert, the sauce packets, which look just like Taco Bell's. And they said that the two sauces, one in the purple packet is a cinnamon berry, and the other an orange mango jalapeno sauce.
That just sounds too elevated for my...
Might be a little much, right?
Yeah, for my dessert. If you want the best white trash dessert you'll ever have, go to the space room.
Okay.
This over on, off of like Belmont. Go to the space room. They have a deep fried Smucker's Uncrustable.
Oh.
With a scoop of vanilla ice cream.
Okay.
And then, like, this cinnamon chocolate drizzle thing they put on there. And I am telling you, the deep-fried Uncrustable, that is the best. Like, you will eat that thing and be like, oh, my God. Whoever, like, this is, like, some sort of great concoction of elevate. No. Fried Uncrustable, throw some cinnamon and sugar on it, put a scoop of
drizzle.
Ice cream, and you will be like, that's the best dessert in Portland. At the freaking space room of all places.
I can definitely get down with that. There was a bar in San Francisco that they had like a white trash style snack shack. Yeah. And they did everything from like, they'd like make a Frito pie where they like actually put the Fritos out and then like chili and cheese on top of it bake it. They did fried Twinkies. So I've had the fried Twinkie. I've not done the fried Uncrustable. I've actually never had an Uncrustable. I've just had PB&J sandwiches.
Make this your first Uncrustable.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Space room.
You've had a
book
few.
It.
Got a couple beverages.
It sounds delightful.
You need a little late night something. Wander into the space room. First off, that area of town, you're going to see some stuff. You're going to see some interesting people. Get yourself an Uncrustable. Tell the bartender, Sook and the Panda sent you. You're welcome.
Hey, shout out to the space room, though. Actually, was there a couple weeks ago. One trivia with my group of friends.
Nice.
That was pretty sweet.
Nice. Did they give you a free fried Uncrustable? They should have.
No. We have them at the house, but no fried stuff. But no, it was a sports question that got us the win.
So what'd you get? What was it?
It was how much money is the NBA's recent media deal? And I knew it.
Ooh.
Literally. It was $76 billion. I knew it to the number. So
I would not have had that off the top. That's
really?
Good. I mean, I know that it was massive. I know I would have known it was maybe in that range, but I could not have come up with that number.
I thought of all you guys when we did. I was like, oh, anybody from the fan, let's go. We would have nailed it.
Dude, there's no way I would have.
I don't think I would have got that number.
Huh? What? You knew it was 76.
Yeah, the article finishes by saying, after we finished the ice cream, we squeezed every last drop out of those sauce packets. They were so good. Mm. So I'm going to try that regardless. I like you. I don't know that I need the sauce packet with it to enjoy it, but, you know, when in Rome.
That's too highbrow for me.
No, it's all the time that we have for In the News, brought to you as always by Advocates Law. You don't need a lawyer. You need an advocate. You can visit them at advocateslaw.com. Coming up next, we'll get into a little bit of NFL football. We've got Thursday night action right on deck, a big Seahawks game this week, and some quarterback talk. Oregon, maybe not quarterback you, but another school might be. It's coming up on The Fan.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.